straight to the hotel, grabbed my bags, and left. I drove through the night, leaving the town behind me. Your harp sat in the passenger seat like a fellow runaway. The sun rose, blaring bright light into my tired eyes, and I needed to stop before I fell asleep at the wheel. Eventually, I found a roadside motel. The woman behind the counter barely glanced at me as I checked in for the night, more interested in a fashion magazine than the exhausted woman carrying a harp under her arm. I left my bags in the car and took your harp with me into the room. After locking the door, I kicked off my shoes and just collapsed onto the bed. But I didn't fall asleep right away. I cried. Maybe I cried for Tina, who encountered something she could never understand. And maybe I gave a few tears for Amelia, who would never have the chance to become a decent human being. But most of all, I cried for myself. Getting the harp made my grief all the sharper. When I cried out all my tears, I slept for most of the day. When I woke in the late hours of morning, I was ready for the next leg of the journey. I knew where to go. The kind lady from CNT Company told me the harp was donated from a town named Willow Lake in Pennsylvania. And David, we know someone who lives there. Your old friend and pen pal, Andrew Young. 2 years ago, he taught medieval literature in Oak Grove until he took a job in Pennsylvania. Both being technophobes, you two kept in touch through handwritten letters. Did he have something to do with your leaving? Or what happened to your storage unit? And was he behind donating the harp to CNT Company? You see, those are questions I plan to ask him when I get to Willow Lake.
Thank God you're back, Henry. What happened?
I'm fine. I just took Tina Fuller to the hospital.
How is she?
The doctors think she had a mental breakdown. They're keeping her for observation, which I think is for the best, while they contact her next of kin. Though I think they're going to admit her into a psych ward. She has a lot of problems.
What is this I heard about a kidnapping?
Wells doesn't want to press charges, so I'm letting it go too. I don't think Tina's a danger to anyone anymore.
Okay. Scott, I heard the voicemail. The one about Terrence. Do you want to talk about it?
I'm fine.
Henry.
I said I'm fine.
You didn't sound
fine. Drop it, Fox. Please.
I want you to consider seeing a therapist before you have a breakdown like Tina did.
I'll think about it.
Well, I arrested Amelia's killer.
No shit. Who was it?
One of her besties, Lacey Connor.
Lacey Connor? Wait, she had an alibi, didn't she?
She did. Amelia Lander's other bestie, Karen Rogers, covered for Connor because she thought she had gone to the bathroom to do a purge.
Oh, but instead of purging, she was killing Amelia Landers. What was the clue that led you to Connor?
Believe it or not, it was Tina that gave me the lead. When I questioned her, she made a comment about people in the storage room complaining about cheating boyfriends. That got me to thinking about the guys Amelia was taking selfies with. So, I did a cross-reference with them, with the cast of Heartstring social media, and sure enough, there were photos of Lacey with her boyfriend, Josh Parks, and a few weeks ago, Amelia started posting pictures of herself and Josh Parks together. If these young people are going to cheat and backstab each other, they should be smart enough not to post evidence of it online. Anyway, on the day of the murder, Lacey confronted Amelia about it before a rehearsal, and Amelia, being her usual narcissistic self, said it wasn't her fault if Lacey couldn't keep a man.
So after that same rehearsal, Lacey went by the storage room to grab a murder weapon. Why harp strings?
Because she wanted to pin the murder on Tina. Tina was the target for bullying from Amelia, so Lacey thought she'd be the perfect scapegoat.
So why didn't she leave the murder weapon in the storage room to lay suspicion at Tina's feet?
Because Lacey didn't anticipate the strings cutting her hands when she used them to strangle Amelia. She may be a ditz, but she had enough common sense to know her DNA would have been on the strings too. I found them hidden in her room and sent them to forensics. And sure enough, both girls' DNA are on them.
So that's it? Just girls fighting over a guy?
Yeah, that's it. No conspiracy or secret trysts between a professor and a student, nor a vengeful wife. Sorry, Scott. I knew you wanted this case to be interesting.
You say that now, but wait until you learn what I discovered about the David Dane case.
The David Dane case?
Not an official case, but this has definitely sparked my interest. Before I got called away, I was digging through police reports and witness testimonies about Douglas Matthews' supposed suicide. It turns out months prior to his death, Matthews had been harassing Wells. He slashed her tires, posted crude drawings of her in the halls, and even went as far as vandalizing her classroom with pornographic imagery with threats of torture and sexual assault.
That's pretty extreme for a disagreement over women's lit.
The animosity runs deeper than that. River Wells reported him for stalking a female student, Emily Charleston. Apparently, he joined into Wells' class to be close to Emily, but Wells caught him trying to slip an air tag into Emily's bag. Then Wells reported him to the dean on grounds of harassment.
Why didn't Mrs. Meeks mention any of this?
Because it was swept under the rug.
Let me guess. Matthews was the son of someone important.
You got it. His father was a state senator and already donated a hefty sum to the school when his son enrolled.
But instead of teaching his kid not to be a creep, he throws money around to smooth things over.
Yep, so the dean only gave the kid a slap on the wrist. Afterwards, Emily dropped out of Oak Grove to get away from Matthews, and he blamed Wells for his crush running away and began a harassment campaign against her. After his death, they went through his laptop and found the browser history filled with misogynistic and incel websites and message boards. The kid accused Wells of teaching lies to the lesser gender and leading them astray from their role in society as sets of warm holes. His words, not mine.
Good grief. It sounds like this kid was more a danger to others than himself. Did you see any sign of suicidal ideation?
No, but not all suicides leave any clues or notes. But here's where it gets interesting. After Matthew's death, the cops canvassed the campus and more than a few students claimed they heard two gunshots.
Whoa. Did forensics confirm this?
Forensics tested the gun and said it was fired twice. One round ended Matthew's life, but they never found the second bullet.
So what's your theory?
Well, there's a message on an incel message board, timestamped the date of his death. He wrote, "It's time to teach a queen bitch that her place is 6 feet underground." So he went to that quad, not to kill himself, but to kill River Wells. He's a stalker, so chances were he knew her routine. The quad was empty, dark, a perfect place to ambush someone, but it didn't go the way he planned.
Was River ever questioned about what happened?
Yes, she stated she had gone home early. Claimed she never saw Matthews that night. They didn't question her further because David Dane, her boyfriend at the time, gave her an alibi. He stated she was with him at the time of Matthews' death. If River was lying and had been in the quad at the time of the shooting, then I would theorize that Matthews took a shot at her and missed. River fought back, and the gunshot that killed him was in self-defense. Maybe River lied because she feared Matthew's senator dad would come after her. So she has Dane give her an alibi.
Judging from your tone, you don't believe that's what happened.
No. If that's what happened, I'd eat my badge. The evidence isn't there to support that theory. First, where is the first bullet? I examined photos of the quad, and it's surrounded by high walls. If he aimed a shot at River and missed, then that bullet should have ended up in one of those walls. Unless he thought he saw her on a broomstick and fired into the sky. And second, from the forensics report on Matthew's body, there were no signs of a struggle. He's not a big guy, and recalling how River wasn't afraid to knock my teeth out for speaking ill of her husband, I can see her clawing his eyes out if he attacked her. But there's no defensive wounds on the body at all. And the wound at the temple, there's a burn mark where the barrel of the gun touched the skin when it was fired. You only see that with self-inflicted gunshots to the head. If River struggled with him for the gun, then it wouldn't have left such a clean shot to the temple.
Wait, Henry, if David Dane served as an alibi for River, then wouldn't the local cops have performed a background check on him, or at least confirmed he was with her when he said he was? It was a potential murder investigation of a high-profile kid, after all.
That's the thing, Fox. They didn't. They took his word for it. There was no confirmation, no investigation, or further questioning of David Dane. Because David Dane said so, they believed it. Who the fuck is this guy, Miranda?
Henry.
Why would River Wells, who clearly loves him, not go to the police when he disappeared, and refuses to file a police report about the harp? It's like she doesn't want anyone investigating this. So what is it she doesn't want anyone to know?
Morning.
Oh, have a seat, dear. I'll have breakfast ready in a minute.
I really wish you'd let me do the cooking, Aunt Louise.
Nonsense. The day I can't cook in my own home is the day you can put me to bed with a shovel.
Oh, please don't say that.
Here you are. If you need anything else, let me know. I'll be in the next room doing laundry.
I said I would take care of laundry today.
I can do my own laundry, child. I don't want you touching my underwear again.
Aunt Louise, I was 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to keep the neighbor's cat from eating a nest of baby birds. I'm an adult now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to use your bra as a slingshot. I'll buy a real one.
And you'll never do it again. Not while I have breath in my body. Stretched it out so much, it never fit right. Finally
using Morning, Liam.
Morning, Lori. Are you all right? After last night, I mean.
Yeah, I'm fine now. It's been a while since I slept over.
Well, you look like you haven't slept at all.
I didn't, but don't worry. I have the day off, so I'll nap at home.
Lori, do you feel, I don't know, strange, too?
I feel like shit.
That's just from not sleeping. I mean, I feel empty. No, not empty. I feel like I should be doing something, but I don't know what.
Maybe look for a job?
There is that. Crap.
Don't worry. It's summer, so there's sure to be some job openings.
Right?
Ah, it's Amanda! One sec. Hi, Amanda!
Lori, guess what? I got you a job that pays you to take vacations.
What?
Remember you wanted to travel but didn't have the money for it? Wait, are you with Liam now? Put me on speaker so I can tell you both about it.
Oh, sure. One sec. Hey, Liam, Amanda has something that she wants to tell us.
Okay, hi, Amanda, but tell us what?
You two are being offered contracts to work as Queen's Travel first-hand reviewers.
Oh, wow!
What is Queen's Travels?
You don't know what... Hold on, no. Of course you wouldn't. It's a travel company. You know, the ones where you book vacations and cruises through them?
Okay. So then, what's a first-hand reviewer?
Queen's Travel prides itself on accurate reviews of vacation spots like resorts, hotels, and parks. They want to update their brochures, but need first-hand accounts of visits to those locations. That's where you two come in. Queen's Travel will send you to different destinations with a list of all the amenities you'll review, such as fine dining, activities, tours, even spa services. All free of charge. And you'll not only receive wages, but also finances to cover travel expenses for gas and car maintenance.
Is this for real?
Yeah, it's for real. I need to get your email addresses so they can send you over the paperwork. I know it sounds too good to be true, but I promise it's all legit.
Oh my god! Liam! We could go on a summer road trip! We won't have to sleep in the van!
That's great, Lori. That's great. But I can't go.
Why?
We have been over this. I can't leave my aunt alone.
Oh, yes, you can.
Aunt Louise.
No, Liam. You are a young man. And believe me when I say you're only young once. If I had such an opportunity to travel when I was your age, I would have left so fast the door would have flew off the hinges.
But I'll worry about you.
Oh, dear heart, we're living in the 21st century. We have computer phones, the interwebs, that, you know, with the one place that has the books and faces and time for face, Zumba calls. Well, we can check on each other anytime we want. It's the digi-T age.
But what if, you know, something happens to you?
Then, sweetie, then something happens. You can't live life worrying about what ifs. You're young. Live your life. Go on an adventure.
Oh, Aunt Louise. Now, why do you want me out of the house all of a sudden?
What? I told you.
Aunt Louise.
Fine. Ralph needs a place to lay low for a while. The cops learned about his side business.
Uh-huh. I bet they did. And he promised to share some of his merchandise, didn't he?
Liam, my sweet, adorable nephew. You've been living rent-free in my house for many years. So, would you kindly get out of my house for a few months so I can finally enjoy some of that retirement without you yapping at me about my health? Thank you very much.
Okay, I'll go. But on one condition.
Mm.
You are hiring a caregiver.
What? No maid.
I'm sorry then, Aunt Louise. I'm just not gonna go.
Fine. We'll hire a maid.
And I want to speak with them regularly so I can make sure you don't fire them the minute I'm out the door.
You don't trust me, your dear old Auntie Louise.
Oh yeah, I trust you. I remember that one Halloween you told me all my candy was poison, but you took it to snack on with your friends at bingo.
It was for your health.
And that time you ran over my toy truck in the driveway, you threw it away while I was at school. And when I looked for it, you told me that Santa found out I used your bra as a slingshot and repossessed it.
Yes, I'm a terrible aunt. Now get ready for your summer vacation and I'll hire the damn maid.
Just don't call them a maid. They're around.
Well, then what shall I call them? Warden? Jailer? A knock? Amanda? You still there?
Yeah, are they always like that?
Oh, yeah. I sit back and watch because I can't pay money to get entertainment like this.
Okay, is this everything? And I mean everything, Lori.
Yes, for the fifth time, I have everything I need, so stop asking.
It's because you always wait until we're on the road to remember you forgot something that you absolutely have to have. You remember that time your mom took us to the water park? We were halfway there and you suddenly remembered you forgot your water goggles, and you wouldn't stop complaining till we turned around to go back and get them.
Okay, look. I needed those because chlorine irritates my eyes, and now I know that water parks do sell goggles.
Okay, well, I hope that is everything because we are not stopping until we get all the way to... Wait, where are we going, Amanda?
Just a place called Willow Lake. They have a lakeside resort and an amazing reading garden.
Amanda, I just want to say thanks for giving us this amazing chance. It's almost too good to be true.
I promise, this is true. Go have an experience.
So, you'll call me? Maybe?
Promise. Not for a while. I heard that CNT company is being disbanded due to inappropriate conduct. And Landers being murdered was the final nail in that coffin. Oh, but don't worry about me. The theater world is always in need of assistance.
Will I see you in New York?
Count on it. Hey, come here.
Oh, wow! I thought we were pumping the brakes, not that I didn't enjoy that.
Just a little something to make you miss me.
I miss you already.
Get out of here, love talker. I'll see you another day.
Hey, Miranda.
Scott, what is this I hear about you taking a sabbatical?
Well, I haven't taken a vacation or time off in 15 years.
Then why now?
Because I smell a case around River Wells.
Henry, why are you doing this?
Because I think there's criminal activity happening and I'm a cop. It's my job.
If you think there's been a crime, then why not contact the authorities over Oak Grove?
Because Matthew's father pulled strings to have the investigation shelved. Better to be the father of a depressed, suicidal student than have the public know that his brat was a woman-hating creep. So unless I bring solid evidence there's been a murder, they're ruling it a suicide.
Lord have mercy. Henry, you're a good cop. But I think you're digging for something that's not there. I read the reports too, and the local authorities did a very thorough job investigating. While there are some questions, like that missing bullet, the majority of the evidence points to suicide. Yes, the kid was spouting hate speech towards women in Wells, but people like him tend to have these manic episodes. Frenzy with hatred one second, and then clinically depressed the next. Maybe he was planning on hurting Wells that night, but then his mood shifted and he became self-hating and decided to off himself instead. It happens. And there's nothing proving Wells or Dane had anything to do with his death or was anywhere near that quad when it happened.
Then what happened to David Dane? Where is he and what is Wells hiding?
Maybe he left her, met another woman, and moved away to be with her.
Without letting his co-workers know he's leaving or taking any of his belongings, they searched the house. All his clothes and belongings were still there.
Maybe he didn't want to go through a messy divorce. Wells strikes me as a woman that would be a nightmare in divorce proceedings. That's probably why she's looking for him. He may have made up with a substantial amount of money, and she wants a cut of it.
What about the harp?
Likely something else she wanted in the divorce. Divorced people fight over stuff all the time, from their kids, to their houses, to their pets. They even fight over collectible toys.
No, it's more than that. Wells is involved in something, and I'll get to the bottom of it.
Henry, as your partner, I'm begging you, take a break from work. Sleep in, find a hobby, or meet someone nice. Just leave police work alone for a while.
You think I'm crazy because I got a little emotional over the phone.
No. I don't think you're crazy. But I do think you're stressed and emotionally drained. In our line of work, we see a lot of nasty things and deal with horrible people. And it does take a toll on us.
I'll take a break. I'll get some rest.
Please do. And I'll check in on you later, okay?
Yeah, thanks.
Goodbye, Scott.
Bye, Miranda. Sorry, Miranda. I'm not one for rest and relaxation.
Thank you for calling Stanford Hotel at Willow Lake. How can I help you?
Yes, my name is Henry Scott, and I'd like to book a room for one for tomorrow.
Of course. How many nights?
3 nights for now, but I might extend my visit.
Hey, Queenie. Yeah, I'm done here. We just maneuvered the pieces onto the board. River is on her way to Willow Lake as we speak.
Let's see, not this exit, but the next one. Just 30 more miles to go. David, I hope you're there. And if you are, you better have a good excuse for putting me through all this.
And I set the lost lambs on their way. They were easy enough to push out of their nests.
Woo! Goodbye, born lives! Hello, summer adventure!
Lori, slow down. We're going to miss our exit.
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo!
Lori!
Liam, live!
Yes, I'll live if you slow down before you get a ticket or put us in the ditch.
This is going to be the best summer of our lives!
The hunter was tricky. Had to pull some tricks out of the bag to get him involved. Hey, Amelia!
Who are you?
I'm your friend Amanda. You know me. We went to Oak Grove together.
Oh, yeah! Hi, Amanda!
Check out that guy over there. I think his name is Josh Parks. He wants to buy you a drink.
Aww.
You should go say hi.
Maybe I will.
Lacey, did you see Amelia's post? Isn't that your boyfriend? I know. Amelia can be such a bitch. Why be sad when you can be mad instead? Someone should really teach her a lesson. Believe it or not, I didn't tell her to use harp strings. I got a little worried about that. I was afraid Scott and Fox were going to arrest Tina too soon and our little hunter wouldn't be on his way to Willow Lake right now.
Where's that fucking exit? Did I miss it?
Everyone is on their way to Willow Lake, with River leading the way. The lost lambs will guide and aid her, while the hunter will protect her while nipping at her heels. It reminds me of the old times, when we spun the threads of fate and guided the hands of destiny. And fucking with mortals is so much fun. I'll keep an eye on things and send you updates. Yeah, don't worry. I have it all in hand. See you later, sis.
Just me and my lonesome self. At least until Ralph gets here. I hope he brings the Seeing Stars cut. Oh, there he is now! 1 second, Ralph! I'm coming. All right, come on in. Wait a minute, you're not Ralph.
No, I told Ralph he would need to hide from the police somewhere else. I really think you should keep better company.
And who are you?
I'm your new caregiver, Luis. My name is David Dane.
Well, let me tell you how things are gonna work around here. You're not... Oh, Lord. I know what you are.
Shh. Let's keep that between us. Now, let's see what you need help with around the house.
You've been listening to episode 8 of River's Journey, written by Cambry Varner, produced by Chris Honeywell and Nicole Tomte. Sound design and music provided by Chris Honeywell. Performed by the Akadakagonagon Theater Works. Nicole Tomte was River Wells. Tim Price was Henry Scott. Cambry Varner was Miranda Fox. The Wizard Mocha was Laurie and Aunt Louise. John Wilson was Liam. Femi London was Amanda. Casey Shaw was Amelia. David Ellis was David Dane. Spread the word. You can contact us at atwinformation@gmail.com and join the conversation in the ATW Discord. You can find the invite at twotruefreaks.com. Thank you for listening, and good night.